chapter 9 in our Bibles, if we could turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I encourage you to be back here tonight to meet Brother Mac and his wife. What a wonderful testimony that they are to me personally and to the Ivory Coast. God is doing a great work there. We have their book available downstairs if you're interested in reading their biography. It's a wonderful read as well. Just you could talk to me after the service. We have one copy, so we'd have to kind of share it out, but they're doing a great work, and we have some refreshments tonight as well, and so I hope you'll make the investment and be a part of that service. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and verse number 19 is where we'll start. Verse number 19. Notice what the scriptures say. It says, "For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now notice what the Bible says in verse 23, if we could hear together. It says in verse number 23, it says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." With God's help this morning, I want to speak on this idea for the gospel's sake. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to join together. We're grateful for this time. And Lord, even though the weather is not wonderful, we know, Lord, that the presence of you and your people is wonderful. And we're grateful that we can gather to sing these hymns of praise to you, to be encouraged by song, and also, Lord, to be encouraged by your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, each of us, to be a partaker, to join in with those that are preaching your gospel around the world. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in this endeavor. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the next couple of days, we're going to hear some testimonies of missionaries. Tonight, we're going to listen to the testimony of Neil Ray. I really tried to get him to come for this, but he's just in this transition right now in mission fields. And so he did make a video update for me. I am still going to try to get him in before he goes to Taiwan. But he'll give a testimony by video. And you're going to hear various testimonies of missionaries that we support specifically. And all of these missionaries would tell you the same thing, that they're doing this. They're leaving their families. You know, they're traveling across the world to a country that they're not familiar with. And they're doing this not for their sake, but for the gospel's sake. They're doing this so that the gospel can be preached. And Paul said, "This I do. This I do for the gospel's sake." Now listen, there's a lot of good causes in our world today. And I think a good cause demands action. You often hear particular causes in our world. And maybe on television you heard, or on the internet, you might hear something like the cause of homeland security, or maybe the cause of the environment, or maybe the cause of humanity in general. And there are many causes that people are about raising money, raising awareness for. They're trying to get people on board to see the need. Just recently, two gentlemen were at my door raising money. And they were raising for a particular organization, and they had their script all rehearsed, and you know, they went through all the motions. They were ready to go, but they were convinced that what they were raising money for was a worthy cause. And there are many churches in our society, if we would be honest this morning, there's a lot of churches in our society that have no idea what their purpose is. They are very confused in what they are supposed to do as a local church. They don't understand the true cause that God has placed upon the local church. A man who was in an office downtown called his wife by telephone and was asking how she was doing. And he asked how the baby, their newborn, was doing. And the lady said, "She's crying her eyes out. I don't know why she's doing it. I don't know whether it's because she's eaten too much or whether she wants more. I'm discouraged. I don't know what she wants." And oftentimes, I think when it comes to the local church, people, pastors, congregations, they come to church and they wonder, what does God want with the local church? What does God want for my life? And I think a generic answer would be, God wants to use you to impact other people. God wants to use you to be a blessing to other people. Now, Paul, of course, is speaking for the cause of the gospel. And he's talking about the furtherance of the gospel. Can we go to Philippians chapter 1 in our Bibles here? Philippians chapter 1. And I want us to notice what the scripture says here in verse number 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. And let's read this together if we could. It says this: "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons." He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." He says here, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my hearts, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Now, in this passage of scripture, Paul says, listen, the mission of the church, the mission that God has for us, is indeed the mission of being a partaker in the gospel. Now, if I could just explain a little bit about our funding here at our church, we have three main accounts, you could call it. We have what we call the O1, and the O1 is our general account, and our general account pays the bills. It pays the utility bills. It allows us to have heat and lighting, and it's an important fund because we can't reach anyone with the gospel if supporting missionaries if we don't have a place to gather and to learn and to grow. And so O1 is indeed an important fund. We have an O2 fund, and that's for building. And we use that for building expenses. We're, saving money to one day build a new auditorium, and we're going to the city. And we use the O2 for that. And you can give, I hope you give to the O1. That helps us to keep things moving. And the O2 goes to the building, and that's important. But then we have our missions account. We call that the O3. And the O3 is people giving on a weekly basis to our missions account. And they don't have to, but they do it sacrificially. And they give to that O3. They don't not give to the O1. It's important to give the O1. But they give above that O1 to the O3. And we're able to use that money in the O3 to support missionaries. Now, some churches do it different ways. There's churches who use a percentage of their O1 and they give that toward missions projects and missionaries, which that's good. But we've always wanted to be able to do more. And so when we have an O3 account and people sacrificially give to that O3, we're able to support more missionaries. We're able to send $5,000 to the Bartley family to help them to complete that building so that they can reach more people with the gospel. And the word there, furtherance, in Philippians chapter 1, is the word progress. It's the idea to make the gospel go forward. And we want the gospel to go forward from this place. We want the gospel to move forward from Kitchener Baptist Church. Oswald J. Smith said, "The church that does not evangelize will soon fossilize." I think that's a good thought here of the church. Jim Elliot said, "We are, as a church, a bunch of nobodies, and we're trying to exalt a somebody." And that is really the heartbeat of our church, is that we would indeed try to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the furtherance of the gospel, to allow the gospel to move forward from this place. Now, there are people who give a dollar. There's people who give $5. There's people who give $10. And there's people who give a lot more. But I want to remind you that nothing is too small when it comes to the work of the Lord. God can use that, and God can multiply that. And it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. Let me give you some thoughts. I won't be long this morning, but let me give you some thoughts from this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians number 9. Here it is. Number one, we are responsible as the church of Christ and as believers. We are responsible for the gospel. We are responsible for the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 15, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel," verse 16 of our text, "I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea," he says, "woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Verse 17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will," notice this, "a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Now, Paul is speaking about his attitude toward the gospel message. And the first thought that he gives is a willing attitude. He says, listen, if I give willingly, if this is my attitude in worship, if I give willingly the gospel, he says, I have a reward. Now, we go to the end of Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I finished what God has called me to do. I will be rewarded one day for finishing that course." And Paul was a willing servant in preaching the gospel. And he says, listen, if I willingly do it, then I will be rewarded. But wait a minute, there's also this unwilling attitude. And sometimes we are unwilling to do our responsibility. Sometimes we are unwilling or don't want to do what God has called us to do. But it's still our responsibility. You know, I'm responsible under God to be a dad. And even if I'm unwilling to do that, I am still accountable to God. I'm still responsible to God. And so Paul says, wait a minute, if I'm unwilling to do that, and notice he uses a word here. He says, "a dispensation of the gospel is laid upon me." The word there, dispensation, it's the idea of being a steward. And so what Paul is saying is, listen, there's no reward, but there is responsibility. Even if I do not do what God has called me to do, I still am accountable to God. And so we notice in this passage of scripture, we notice, first of all, we are responsible. Number two, we are to invest. We are to invest. You know, there's a story in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew specifically, And it's a story of talents. A talent was a unit, weight of and money. A talent represented in Bible times a large sum of money, usually measured in silver and gold. And Jesus is teaching, and he illustrates going to heaven and the investment that his servants made on earth. In fact, a talent was worth 6,000 times a day's wage. So this is a large, large sum of money. One talent was 20 years worth of labor. And so this is an incredible amount. And Jesus gives one man five talents, and he gives another man two talents, and he gives one man one talent. The first two, what do? You know the story. They invest it. They grew it. The five became 10. The two became four. And God didn't praise them for their increase. Get this. He praised them for their faithfulness with what they had. He praised them for investing what God had given to them. And then the last man didn't do anything. He was afraid, and he claimed that God was harsh and demanding. And the master calls that individual slothful and a wicked servant because he was still responsible to God. Now, there's an interesting passage that has always jumped out to me in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 27. I want to read it to you. And notice what the Bible says in verse 27, Matthew 25. It says, "Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury." Isn't that an interesting thought that Jesus said? Jesus said to that man, you should have given it to the bankers. And the bankers would have known how to invest it. But you've just taken that and you just sat upon it and you were a slothful steward. Now, let's think about that investment for just a moment. What would be the banker? How could I give that to someone else? How could I give my money to someone else so that they can invest it? And I think a great illustration of that is to be able to give it to missions, to support missionaries, so that they could go out and preach the gospel. And do you know the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 17, Paul said, not because I desire a gift. The church at Philippi was giving to Paul to support his work. He says, not because I desire a gift, but this is interesting. He said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And when you give to missions, when you give to support missionaries so that they can go and preach the gospel in foreign fields, listen, that is investing. That's not lost. That is fruit that will abound to your account. That is an investment that you will make in eternity. And so we must invest in what God has given to us. Thirdly, I think also he was a partaker. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 23, it says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." This is a co-participant. This is a partnership that we have with our missionaries. This is a partnership that we have with God himself. Paul said in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, we are laborers together with God. And we are indeed laborers together with God. And so we give and we go and we do this for the gospel's sake. You know, I understand that people don't want to hear about money and teaching on money and all of these things. I just don't think I would be a very good pastor. I believe in this strongly, and I've been given to missions personally for as long as I can remember, and I believe in it strongly. I believe it's an investment in eternity, and I just don't believe I'd be a very good pastor that if I didn't teach you these biblical principles of being rich in eternity and seeing people come to Christ in foreign fields are added to your account one day. And it's not about how much you give. It's not about how much you give. It's about giving. It's about being involved. It's about being a partaker, partnering with God and with these missionaries so that we can have the gospel preached around the world. The Bible says this to the local church, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." How could we possibly do that? Are we going to start funding you to get on planes and sending you out? I wish we could do that, but I know one way we can preach the gospel around the world is to support missionaries that go, and that they can go to that field and that they can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just believe little as much when God is in it. Many years ago now, a sobbing little girl stood near a small church from which she had been turned away because it was too crowded. And when the pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Russell Conwell, asked her why she was crying, she replied that she could not let that they could not let her into the Sunday school because there was no more room. And she said that the pastor said he would take her in, and he did so, and he told her that one day, we're going to have a church big enough for all the boys and girls so that they can hear the gospel. Not knowing to Dr. Conwell, that little girl, Hattie Mae Wyatt, went home and told her parents that she wanted to save money to build a bigger church. And they indulged her by letting her run some errands for some pennies. It was a long time ago. And she ran some errands for some pennies, and she saved in a little bank. And she was a lovable thing. And I mean, she went around and she was saving money here and there. And only a few weeks, this is a true story, only a few weeks after she started to save this money, Hattie Wyatt became ill and she died. And at the funeral home, her father told the story of this little girl who had been saving money for the building fund. And he asked the pastor to come up. And he gave that pastor 57 cents. This is what she had raised, 57 cents. At the meeting of the trustees, Dr. Conwell told them of Hattie's gift of 57 cents. The first gift toward the proposed building fund that had barely been spoken of, as a new building had been simply a possibility for the coming future. The trustees were impressed to buy a lot on Broad Street, and the owner of the lot was approached regarding its sale. They were moved with hearing the story of Hattie and agreed to sell the land to the church, get this, for 57 cents. In the meanwhile, apparently the 57 pennies were sold to members of the church. The result was raising $250. 54 of those 57 pennies were returned and put on display in the church. Checks came in far and wide, including one check for $10,000. That was a large sum of money for that time near the turn of the century. Reportedly, within 5 years, the little girl's gift of 57 cents had become $250,000. In a sermon on December the 1st, 1912, which honored Hattie Mae Wyatt, Dr. Conwell, founder of what now is known as Temple University, reminded the congregation of the impact of that 57 cents. And this is what he said. He said, "Think of this large church. Think of the membership added to it, over 5,600 since that time. Think of the institutions that this church had founded. Think of the Samaritan Hospital and the thousands of sick people that have been helped and the thousands of poor who have been ministered to each year. All of this was set in motion," he said, "because of the faith of a little girl and 57 pennies. If God could do that," this is what he told his church, "if God could do that with 57 cents, imagine what God can do with what you put in his hands." And this is the message I want to remind you here tonight, is what will you give to the Lord? What will you put in his hands? 57 pennies change the world. It's not about, listen, it's not about how much. It's about, will you give? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to allow God to do the impossible through us?